Well, it is good to see those of you out with us this morning. Good to have some visitors here. We're glad you've come our way. We've got several of our own out, some possibly positive, some definitely positive, and some just in quarantine due to contact tracing. So we just need to keep all those in our prayers and see what we can do for them in this time. Bert read for us in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 9 through 14, a familiar story to us in Naaman the leper, wanting to be healed and coming to Elisha. And we notice something about Naaman here that's really indicative of most of us, whether we admit it or not. Naaman's pretty opinionated. He has his own determination on what would be clean and what would not be clean. And when he's told to go dip in a very filthy, dirty body of water, he gets angry because he believes he knows better and that these cleaner waters would do a better job at curing him of his leprosy. And so what we see in Naaman is he's being led really by his feelings. And that's what we're talking about in our lesson this morning, is human feelings in regards to the truth, leading by our feelings. For so many, feelings have become a god of its own sense to people today. Well, it doesn't feel right. Or it does feel right, or it feels like it's a good thing, or it feels like it's acceptable. And so it becomes a popular standard for making even the most important decisions. And I'm not saying we shouldn't listen to our feelings, because they can be a guide if they are centered on the right topics and the right situations. But we should not be making the most important decisions on our life just based on simply how it feels. Now, when we think about people today, can we find that people could be led astray by listening to their feelings? And I'm talking about in general ways. Let me give you an example of the trip my family and I took to Chicago last year. When we went and visited the church in Berwyn for Wednesday night services, I remember we turned right to go down on the road to get to the church building. And so as we're leaving the service and we're coming back, those of you who are good with directions, I'm not one. But if you've turned right onto the road, how do you get back the way in which you're going? You do the opposite. So you turn left onto the road in which you come from. What does Dad do? He turns right. I said, I don't think we're going the right way. Yeah, we're going the right way. I've never driven to Chicago. He has many times. So I say, okay. And as we're going down, I'm making little comments like, these are nice buildings. I wonder why we didn't see them on the drive-in. He's going, oh, you weren't paying attention. And it feels right to him. Finally convinced him when we got to Lake Michigan that we were in the wrong part of Chicago, because Lake Michigan's on the east side and my aunt lives on the west side. And so he was led by his feelings in all the trips he's made there before that he's going the right way. Now that's funny, I can tell on him because he's not here to rebut it. I'm sure they'll tell him tonight or the next time they see him. However, how many of us have been in a similar situation? We think we know the way we're going, so we head down the road, and about maybe 5-10 minutes or sometimes longer, we go, I don't know where I am. Or, that was the wrong turn back there. And so just simply being led by our feelings without any arbitrary guidelines can lead us down the wrong path physically in maneuvering to a location. What about those of you who've worked in maintenance or worked with electrical before? How would it be if you felt that the wire wasn't live before you cut into it without checking to make sure the electricity was off? Would that be very wise of you to just go by feeling, it looks like it's off? Or it feels off, and so you go cut, and everyone's laughing at you the next time they see you because you've got maybe your hair standing on an end from where you've been jolted with a lot of electricity. But you see, in some of the things we do in our life, we can't simply just go by feeling without checking. Because we could cause harm to ourselves, harm to others, and even cost ourselves our life in certain situations. And so we cannot simply let our feelings rule us. When we consider the Lord's church, when we consider our truth that we have that God has given, What would be the problem in being led by our feelings alone? What would be the problem in trusting on just human feelings and not our Lord's Word? Well, unfortunately, when we get down to it, it's failure to honor God when we put our feelings above His Word. And when we trust rather on our feelings than on God's holy scriptures. Let me read a few to you. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Jesus said to those Jews who believed, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." And James chapter 1, verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. And so we have three different gospel writers, one being Christ speaking in John chapter 8, Paul speaking in Colossians, and James speaking in James 1. All three showing us that we are to be following truth. Truth is what frees us. You know, our feelings can get us into trouble at times. Can they not? If we do and make decisions based solely on our feelings, we can get into trouble by not doing what we were supposed to. If you're at work, how does your boss take it when you disobey a direct order and say, "Well, it didn't feel right"? Good luck with that one. When we consider what we're doing, and Christ tells us, "Do all in the name of the Lord, whatever you do in word or in deed," how then do we look if we're taking our step, if we're taking our basis from our own self rather than God? And looking at James, are we a doer of the work if we are not following the truth? And so, let's look at a few statements this morning. First off, let's look at how we use feelings as our standard will prove that it's worthless. If we use our feelings as the standard for what we do, it will prove itself to be worthless. You notice first, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, Paul says we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, we could reword that and say we walk by the word of God, we walk by our faith in God, and not by our own beliefs. That's maybe a more literal today's terminology translation of that. We're walking by God's will and our faith in God and not by our own determinations. The Christian walk is a walk of faith, not a walk of feelings. And we know from Paul's writings to those in Rome, in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing the word of God. Faith comes by the revelation of God's will through His word. And so we don't gain faith based on how we feel about a given subject matter. Now, we may feel strongly about something, and so we investigate it more, we study more, we learn more, but it's not our feeling that defines our faith. It is our study that defines our faith. Feelings can serve vital roles, though, if they're in harmony with the truth. You know, when we consider Paul talking about our conscience, what would happen if we were to go out and make decisions against our conscience? Well, we would be sinning, would we not? If we're going against our conscience. And so we can think about feelings do play a vital role in our walk as a Christian if they're properly set. And if they're in tune with the will of God. Notice a couple. Acts chapter 8, verse 39. When they came out of the water, this is the Ethiopian eunuch, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. You know, rejoicing is one of those words that we are shown in Scripture as to be part of our life as a Christian. Rejoice always, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You know what rejoicing is? It's a feeling. And so we can't arbitrarily say that feelings have no point in religion. Because happiness, glad, kindness, Those are all feelings and characteristics that we are to be exhibiting. But they have to be in tune with the will of God. Why is the Ethiopian eunuch rejoicing? Why is there rejoicing in the scripture when we see brethren learn of how others are doing, of how souls are being converted? Because they recognize how God's will is being taught and followed. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27, Paul says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." What is angry? It's a feeling. Now we think about this for a moment. Anger as a feeling is a very powerful motivator. Is it not? And we can sometimes make rash decisions based on our anger. So what is Paul saying? Be angry and do not sin. It's not the anger that ensnares us and clouds our mind and takes over. This is anger in regards to things of a spiritual nature. When people go against God, when people openly mock God, it should cause us to be a little angry. We should not be happy with the way people are talking about God. But we understand, through our walk as a Christian, that we have to utilize that anger properly. And so we can't be led by our anger, but we can use our anger to do the will of God. So it leads us to maybe teach the soul, to rebuke them when they've done wrong, and to show others what God has intended. Feelings are not the criteria that we should be using when deciding whether or not something is wrong or right. When we look at two different passages in the scriptures, we see where Jesus taught they should be getting their answers from in his prayer to God in John 17. And in Acts chapter 17, we have Luke recording for us how the brethren there in Berea, I may have it wrong, my brain's a little foggy this morning, those who were better than those, more noble than those in Thessalonica, they get their belief, their decisions, where? These were more noble than those at Thessalonica, in that they searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. John chapter 17, verse 11, in Christ's prayer to the Father, he says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." And so we have two different occasions then, Christ speaking and Luke recording for us in the early church, in which where we are to find our reasoning. And it's the Word of God. And so let's look then for a few moments for the rest of our lesson at five different applications of the principle, of this principle of trusting the Word and not necessarily our feelings. Let me say first that we may at times feel that we are doing what is right. But to really know what is right, we have to take time to sit down and examine God's Word. When we consider Isaiah 55, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord." When we consider Jeremiah 10, verse 23, when Jeremiah says, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself, it is not a man who walketh to direct his own steps." We need to understand that even though we may feel what we are doing is right, until we've taken time to sit down and examine it by the scriptures, we cannot be assured of what we're doing. And so let's look at five examples, and then we'll conclude the lesson from there. First, let's talk about salvation. Maybe one of the ones in our society today that we have a lot of people who say they are led by their feelings on salvation. Have you ever heard someone say that you just feel it and you know? It's a feeling that comes upon you. Well, I know that it's right in my heart. Here's what the Bible says. Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Acts 2:38, Peter says, repent and let every one of you be baptized for the remission of your sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 3:21, baptism which doth now save you, not as a removal of dirt from the flesh, but as an appeal of a good conscience to the Lord. Romans 6:3, know ye not that so many of us are baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death, and if we've been baptized, or if we have been entered into a death like him, we shall be raised like him. I'm paraphrasing the next paragraph for you. What's funny is, I don't see in any of those situations where it's a feeling. I see a command given, actions listed, and a desired result at the end. And I'm going to tell you, as you work in life, we often learn lines that can be bended without broken. We learn where lines are curved in certain areas, so you may have a little gray area. When it comes down to my salvation, my eternity, how dare I be so flippant with it to say, well, it's just something I feel. How dare I be naive, if you'll let me use that word, and assume that it's just a feeling that I get. I want to be able to back up that feeling, folks. I want to be able to know that I am saved, that I have done what God has asked of me. Because there are a lot of things here on this earth that maybe I can hope I've done right and pray that I've done right, and really I just don't know. But when it comes down to my salvation, I better be sure. And so when I look in Scripture and I see an action and a desired result, I better be doing what that Bible says. Let's use another one. Worship as God directed. Here's another one that is very varied, if you will, throughout the religious world. Well, it doesn't sound right. It doesn't feel right. This feels better. Oh, the feeling that I get from it, etc., 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 etc. Let's remember first, John 4, where Christ has said, God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Remember his prayer to the Father in John 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So if I'm worshiping him in my spirit, with my feelings, if you will, and I know that's not necessarily the way it's intended there, but let me use it a little liberally here. And truth, then I better be backing up my worship with God's word, as God intended it and God designed it, and not how Caleb Ray designed it. 1 Corinthians 14:15. In the discussion about spiritual gifts, this is what is said. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. We should be having our life fitted together, our worship fitted together, as God has intended it. And so as we talk about why we worship the way we do, why we make the decisions that we do here, they should be backed up with God's Scripture. A third one, the work of the local church. It's a good work. It's something we ought to be doing. Both those are statements made from places of feeling. This is what Paul says in 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. There are a lot of good works here on the earth. There are a lot of things that are of a good nature that inherently are not bad. However, it's been pretty well spelled out that as the work of the church, God has given us an intended work to do collectively. I should not be straying outside of those guidelines God has set. I should not consider that my desire or my opinion is equivalent with what God has told us. And so while things may be of a good nature, while they may be of good design and have a good outcome even, ends justify the means, I should not equate what I've decided works to what God has showed me the work of the church is. We sometimes confuse the work of the church with the work of individual Christians. There is a work that we've been given collectively and a work that we've been given individually. And trouble comes when our feelings tell us we can do our individual work better by making it the church's work. Let me add a fourth one that is definitely prevalent in today's society. Morality. Different people feel different ways about what is moral today. You know, if people from 60, 70 years ago were to see America today, they'd be disgusted. If they saw the world today, they'd be disgusted. Because things that would have never been mentioned except for in private, in a back room, as a little secret, hoping none of the rest of the family found out, is broadcasted for everyone today. What we've got in today's society is there is no shame. There's no shame about different decisions because we've taught people that if that's how you feel, that's what you should be doing. Just go with how you feel. You can't be wrong if you're following your feelings. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. This directly follows the verse about baptism doth now save you, not as a removal of flesh from filth from the body, but as an appeal of a good conscience to God. We're talking about the old man becoming the new man. This is how he starts chapter 4. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. In Romans chapter 13, verses 13 and 14, Paul says, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness or lust, not in strife or envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and perfect and acceptable will of God. And Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. You know, morality has pretty well been spelled out by God. It is not up for us to decide what is moral and immoral anymore. It is not up for us to decide that if our feelings tell us one thing, then it's okay. Matter of fact, we're to put away our fleshliness. To not consider it, to not be led by it, and to be led rather by God. God has spelled out what is good, what is acceptable, what is right. He doesn't need us to make that decision for Him. And so we can't be led by our feelings when it comes to matters of morality. We need to be led by the Word of God. And now our final one, fifthly, false doctrine. We're summing up a whole lot in this last point. Most false doctrine, if not all, comes from feelings. This is how I feel it should be. That's not what Paul meant. Well, that's your feeling about that. And we could substitute the word feeling for opinions here. False doctrine is the result of someone feeling a certain way. False doctrine is when we have been led astray by other feelings. Galatians chapter 2, verse 5, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. When people are led astray by falsehoods, by feelings, they are denying God. They are rejecting God and putting their own self first instead. We cannot be a people who are led by our feelings. Let me make the point here, as I did earlier. Feelings have their proper place, their proper time. And feelings can influence us to do right if they're properly set on God's will. But let me remind you, when it comes down to it, how does it go with if you tell your boss that you decided to do whatever because of your feeling? How does it work out for you when you were a kid? When you told your mama or daddy, well, I didn't do it because I felt like you wouldn't want it done that way. I can almost guarantee most of you never told your parent that because you knew what would have happened if you did. And those of you who might have been brave enough to actually say something along those lines, it probably didn't go well for you, did it? So if mama and daddy won't take feelings over their commandments, and if bosses don't like your feeling over their rules, why would you play that game with God? Why would you play that game with He who created everything around us? When I stand before God on the day of judgment, I have to give an account of how I've lived in regards to His Word. How bad would that go for me if my answer to God, when I have to give an answer in my life, is, well, I know that's what you said, but I felt you'd be okay with my decisions. There is danger in letting our feelings decide for us. God has spoken and we should listen. If you're here this morning and you have never obeyed the gospel, excuse me, don't be led astray by the world's decisions and the world's example of, well, it's a feeling. You just know it when you feel it. Be influenced by the Word of God to do what He said. And if you're here this morning and you have obeyed the will of God, but you let your feelings make your decisions for however long now, resolve today to start doing what God has said instead. There's danger in trusting ourselves over God. Please don't make that mistake. And so if we can help you in any way, we can pray for you, if we can help get you on the right path with God, please let us do so. And please respond to His call as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.